All right. Let's turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. To put this message in context, we meet Israel first in Joshua chapter 2 as they send out spies into the land before they cross the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, the land God had promised to them and told them to conquer. Then at the end of chapter 5, we see them again after they have crossed the Jordan and prepare to attack the city of Jericho. There are some important lessons I believe the Lord would have us gain from the study of the walls of Jericho. Please follow along in your Bibles then as I read two long passages from the book of Joshua in order to understand the details of what is happening in this important event in Israel's history. So bear with me and follow along in your Bible so you can hear it and see it at the same time. Joshua chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. It came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fjords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." So the men said to her, "Our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. She said to them, "Go to the hill country, so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way." The men said to her, "We shall be free from this oath to you, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear." She said, "According to your words, so be it." So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and came to the hill country and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. Now the pursuers had sought them all along the road, but had not found them. Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and they related to him all that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "Surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. Now would you turn to Joshua chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 13 all the way through chapter 6, verse 27. So Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "No, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servants?" The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and the valiant warriors. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead." So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." Then he said to the people, "Go forward and march around the city and let the armed men go on before the Ark of the Lord." And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while they continued to blow the trumpets. But Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you, shout. Then you shall shout." So he had the ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once. Then they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Now Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did so for 6 days. Then on the 7th day they rose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they marched around the city 7 times. At the 7th time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them and take some of the things under the ban and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it. But all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Joshua said to the 2 men who had spied out the land, Go into the harlot's house and bring the woman and all she has out of there, as you have sworn to her. So the young men who were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all she had. They also brought out all her relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel. They burned the city with fire and all that was in it. Only the silver and gold, the articles of bronze and iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. However, Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all she had, Joshua spared. And she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua made them take an oath at that time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord is the man who rises up and builds this city Jericho. With the loss of his firstborn he shall lay its foundation, and with the loss of his youngest son he shall set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. That was a long scripture reading. Thank you for your patience. Now that we have the context of what took place in Jericho, I'd like to draw your attention, first of all, to the walls. To begin with, notice the purpose of walls. The purpose of walls is to keep something in or out, whether it be the cold, the heat, water, contamination, animals, people, you name it. In the Netherlands, there are walls or dikes built to keep the ocean out, to keep from being affected by the nature of water, because the water will radically change the status quo. It will destroy gardens, render useless houses, beds, kitchens, so forth. The purpose of these city walls of Jericho was to keep the enemy out. Here in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, the people of Jericho were trying to keep Israel and the God of Israel out. You may be thinking to yourself right now, how foolish of them to try to keep God out. God, who created the universe, cannot be kept out of anything. And you would be right to think that. However, are you guilty of the same foolishness? The fact is, there may very well be walls in your life. How can you tell if you've put up walls in your life? Ask yourself this question. Is there any area of my life that I am protecting? And when people get too close to it, I get upset or tense or afraid or angry. If so, then you have put up defensive walls. You may have put them up to protect the status quo, maybe a sin, and keep God out. You may deny this and maintain strongly that you have let God in, but as we'll see presently, you have not let God in. You have merely created a substitute God, an idol that you can customize and control according to your own agenda. Just like the people of Jericho had gods of their own making that they worshipped, but were fiercely resisting the God of Israel, the God who created the universe. Notice, secondly, the nature of walls. We've seen the purpose of walls. Look at the nature of walls. Obviously, the nature of a wall will depend on the purpose of that wall. Jericho's walls were very interesting. Jericho was the most powerful city of Canaan at that time, with the mightiest walls that could be built. In fact, the walls were so thick and impenetrable that people in the city actually had houses built in the wall. Their houses were part of the wall. Did you notice that Rahab's house was built on the walls in Joshua chapter 2, verse 15? And chariots could drive around the top of the walls. That's a thick wall. Let's get back to the walls in your life. What are these walls made of? The building materials of these walls may be pride, self-sufficiency, and self-righteousness, protecting you against the need to change something in your life. Please understand me when I use the word protecting tongue-in-cheek. Actually, you don't need protecting from change. You need to change your heart in order to experience God's blessings. The building materials of these walls may be self-centeredness, self-protection, and self-will, protecting you against God's will. Again, I use the word protecting tongue-in-cheek. Actually, you don't need protecting from God's will. You need to follow God's will in order to receive God's blessings in your life. Moving on from these walls, we come to the ban. Notice with me, first of all, the meaning of the Hebrew word cherem, found in chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. The city shall be under the ban, cherem. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, cherem, so that you do not covet them and take some of the things under the ban, cherem, and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it. The King James Version understandably translates cherem as accursed. Cherem is something that is set apart unto God to be destroyed. The New American Standard Bible translates it well as under the ban, because no one was to take any of it. It was all devoted to God. Notice with me, secondly, the significance of the ban. Here in Jericho, God wanted everything that was tainted by sin to be destroyed. Please understand this important principle. Are you listening? How many are listening? Okay. When God comes in, he must destroy everything that is corrupted by sin and self. He must replace it with his holy, pure, life-giving, perfect gifts. Notice what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If you don't want to turn there very quickly and lose your place, maybe you can just listen carefully. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, familiar passage, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And then Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. The image of Christ. We've seen the meaning of the word ban, and secondly, the significance of the ban. Notice with me thoroughly the exception to the ban: Rahab and her family. Look at verse 17 of Joshua chapter 6. God approved and affirmed this exception because these were no longer unbelieving rebels against the true God. God had cleansed Rahab and her loved ones because of her faith. Did you notice what she said to the two men? In fact, she became the ancestress of David and many generations later, Christ. Interesting. What a glorious proof of God's mercy and grace and complete cleansing that also applies to any sinner who will repent and trust Christ alone for salvation. What a merciful God we serve. We've seen the meaning of the word ban, the significance of the ban, and the exception to the ban. Fourthly, notice with me the breaking of the ban, Achan's sin. If you're there in Joshua chapter 6, notice verse 18. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them and take some of the things under the ban and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it. Verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 1. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. Achan's sin brought down God's wrath on the rest of Israel until they searched out and got rid of the ones who had broken God's ban. God's blessings are withheld, and his discipline must fall on those of his people who rebel against his command to destroy all that which is associated with the corruption of sin and rebellion against God. We too must not hang on to the corruption of the old life. For example, in the area of music, rap and rock music cannot be sanctified by substituting religious words. The sensual music itself is in total rebellion against God and his word. Oh, that we would learn the lesson of Achan and not hang on to the things of the life you lived before salvation or the things of the world that have attracted you. This is only one example of many. The Lord may bring to your mind things of the old life that maybe you're still hanging on to. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. Moving on from the walls and the ban, we come to God's power. Notice, first of all, God's power in bringing down the walls of Jericho. Please note that the physical weapons of Israel were never used to bring the walls down. Instead, God had the soldiers march around the city for 6 days quietly. None of man's pride was to be allowed a place. How many of you have ever been to a ball game, you know, where everybody's yelling, screaming, and I hear there's a ball game tonight? Is anybody aware of that, right? I don't follow it. I'm not going to watch it. But it's very interesting how you get excited. I remember in college, I both played on teams and I also, clapped and yelled and screamed and so forth for my teams. And, you get really loud when you're thinking about man's prideful things. And yet here they were to do it quietly. It'd be a really interesting study for you to go through the Bible and see how often God wants you to be quiet or when God is quiet. None of man's pride was allowed a place. And on the last day, march around the city 7 times against all logic, because that is a perfect way to tire out all the soldiers before they get a chance to fight. Think about it. This city was huge, by the way. Walking around that city 7 times. This was hours and hours and hours of hiking. How many of you like hiking? How many of you like to hike for like 8 hours without stopping? Okay, none of you are crazy. Okay, but this is what they were doing. This is not smart in the world's way of thinking. And finally, blow the shofars, the ram's horns, instead of using their weapons. None of that makes logical sense, humanly speaking. God wanted his people to clearly understand that it was not they who were getting the victory over impossible odds, but rather it was all of God. They needed to keep their eyes on and their trust in him. Also, keep in mind that the walls fell down flat so that the Israelites could climb right over the walls from every direction, not just through a few gaps in the wall. Into the city. Yes, obedience was involved, but not the power of the flesh. Notice, secondly, just as God's power brought down the physical walls of Jericho, God's power can bring down the walls that are in the hearts of people. In fact, God is able to bring down the walls in your life. You may think that because it is taking a long time that he is not able to or else not interested in bringing these walls down in your life. Notice the 7 days it took to bring Jericho's walls down. Could God have done it instantly the first day? Of course. But notice that God delayed. You may be aware that in the Bible, 7 is the number of completion. How many of you are aware of that? Okay. How many days are in a week? 7. By the way, if you look at evolution, they can't explain a 7-day week. Because how many fingers do you have? 10?
Yeah.
It would seem logical to have a 10-day week, right? Nope. 7 days. The number of completion. Interesting. Surely this is a reminder to us that it will happen when God's timing is right. Perhaps you're listening to this message and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved. If you were to die right now, you know you would go straight to be with God in heaven. But you are still clinging to your own will for your own life. You are still clinging to something that you know God is not pleased with. Yes, that thing that you're trying not to think about right now. God will bring down the walls you have put up to fight him. But oh, how much better to be like Rahab and begin to receive all the blessings now that he intends for you. God will take whatever time is necessary to bring your surrender of everything, of every area of your life to him. Don't waste your life in shutting yourself up away from God and from the entrance of his perfect life-giving will for your life. I remember as a young person, I fought the will of God. I did not want to preach. I did not want to be a missionary. I did not want to do any of the things that my father did. I wanted to get a decent job and earn some money and send other people out as missionaries, you know. And I remember that I fought God's will, especially since I didn't like to speak in front of people. And I fought the Lord's will for a long time. Well, he worked in my heart. He brought down the walls. I praise the Lord, he did. Oh, listen, he always has a good will. A perfect will. Perhaps you may be listening to this message today, and like Rahab, you are not yet a part of God's people. But you have seen that you are a sinner and need his perfect salvation. Will you make that decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from sin and hell? If you fail to do that, then just like the people of Jericho who stubbornly resisted God, and perished as God justly destroyed them for their wicked sin, so you will perish in the lake of fire forever, as God clearly states in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and chapter 21, verse 8. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Chapter 21, verse 8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving, that's all it takes. And abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Christian, God is able to bring down the walls of resistance to the gospel in the lives and hearts of those you are praying for, perhaps a loved one. Perhaps a neighbor, perhaps a fellow worker. God is able to bring down the walls of resistance to the gospel. But remember the lesson of the 7 days. It takes time. Don't give up praying for them. Don't give up witnessing to them until the Lord answers your prayer. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Christian, Perhaps the Lord has spoken to your heart today about some walls that you have put up in your life. Whatever you are trying to protect, you are actually protecting it from God. Like Jericho was trying to protect themselves from God, from his convicting you of it, from his changing you. If you recognize that the Lord is speaking to you about this and you know that you need to take those walls down, you know that you need to let God have his will and way in your heart and life, then will you tear down the wall of pride first? When you tear that wall down, the other walls will come down more easily. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, Christian, would you do that? Will you commit to that? Will you tell the Lord that in your heart? If it would encourage you and help you to make that decision more firm in your life, would you just let me know so I could pray for you? Pastor, pray for me. I am bringing these walls down. I'm committing to that. As the Lord is speaking to my heart, would you pray for me? Is there anyone? Perhaps you're listening to this message and you recognize that you are without Christ. You are not absolutely 100% sure that if you were to die today, you would go straight to heaven. Will you humble yourself and, like Rahab, accept God's pardon and salvation? If you'd like me to help you come to Christ, please talk to me after the service is over. Or if you're on Zoom, or even listening later on our website, would you contact me? The information is there for you. I would love to help you. It would be my joy to help you come to Christ. Or if you're saved and you need some help, it would be my joy to help you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your wonderful word, where these things are recorded and your Holy Spirit is working in our hearts as we see the application of these walls that we study, the walls of Jericho. Lord, we realize that these walls of Jericho were so huge, so thick, that they could drive chariots around on top of them. And humanly speaking, they were impenetrable. Lord, I'm so thankful that you are all-powerful. And you brought these walls down. In fact, from what we see from the remains of Jericho's walls, that the walls actually fell outward. They weren't pushed inward, they fell outward. Again, showing that God is the one who did it. So, Lord, I pray that as we have learned some lessons from these walls of Jericho, may we realize that we too are all too prone to build up walls in our lives, to protect ourselves from change, to protect ourselves from conviction, to protect ourselves from your working in our lives to change us. Oh Lord, I pray that we would realize, like Rahab did, how wonderful you are, how gloriously loving and all-powerful and all-wise you are, and how your will is the very best thing that could happen in our lives. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you tore down the walls of my life so that I would do your will as you gave me the blessing of my Brenda, and our four children, and service for you in Nova Scotia and here in Quebec. Lord, I'm so thankful for your wonderful convicting power. Lord, I pray that whatever needs to happen in hearts here today, whether here in the room or on Zoom or on the internet later, whoever's listening, Lord, I pray that they would respond to you, that they would bring the walls down, allow you in, allow your change, in their lives. Father, especially for those who are not yet saved, I pray that they would let the Savior in, that they would allow him to cleanse them and transform them to new creatures in Christ. I pray that you would do your work for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.